Praise God. We're going to talk about faith again this morning, Hebrews chapter 11. My prayer recently has been, Lord, give us faith in the midst of difficult times, dark times. Give us an atmosphere of faith in our church and our families so that we believe God and we don't believe the report of all that's going on in our world, but we believe the word of God. Amen. And we lay hold of the promise of God. So let's read in Hebrews chapter 11. This, of course, is a wonderful faith chapter. And we'll just read a few verses here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, we're talking about faith a lot because faith is essential. And we need to look at this topic of faith and this truth because it's such an important and essential doctrine. It's really the key to experiencing God's blessing in your life. It's the key to experiencing God's power in your life. You want to see God do wonderful and mighty things in your life, then you need to explore the advancing and the growth of your faith, the developing of your faith in your life. I know that the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. No one comes to the Lord and is saved because they earned it. You can't do enough good things to earn your salvation. You're not good enough to be saved. It's only by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. Your salvation is a gift of God. You can't live a good enough life to get saved. Once you are saved, then God pours his grace into you and gives you the power to live a life that's pleasing to him. But when you come to the Lord, it's by grace through faith. Amen. The Bible says that God has given to every man the wording in the scripture. God has given to every man the measure of faith. And I believe that that measure of faith is enough faith for you to get saved. Everyone. I believe that everyone walking around out here in the world, as far removed from God as they might be, or in other places around the world, I believe that within their heart, and within the desire and the longing of their heart is the desire to know who God is. A desire to know God. God has given to every man the measure of faith. It's there. It's lying dormant in their life. Just recently, radio talk show, television talk show host Larry King passed away. He was old. I don't know how old he was, but he was old. I can remember listening to him on the radio years ago. I remember how surprised I was when I first saw what he looked like, because he had this wonderful radio voice. And then when I saw him, I thought, wow, how did that great voice come out of that little skinny little man? Larry King, recently I watched the interview of Larry King interviewing Billy Graham. Now, Larry King was a Jew, And that was his Jewish heritage and Jewish faith. But I watched that interview and how that he asked Billy Graham about Jesus, about salvation, about heaven, about eternity. And Billy Graham just very straightforward spelled it out for him, gave him the gospel. And I could see, as I watched that interview, I could see that there was something in Larry King's heart by his questions and by what was being stirred up in his heart by the message of the gospel, that there was a hunger, a desire to know God and to know Jesus and who he was. Praise God. Because I do believe that whenever you witness to somebody, you talk to somebody about the Lord, that you potentially, whenever you speak to them and witness to them, that that God can cause that dormant seed lying in their spirit to be brought alive and stirred to life, and to bring them to the place, because God has given to every man the measure of faith. And then once you're saved, then that faith has to be grown and developed and strengthened in your life. And if you want extraordinary faith, then you have to be willing to ask God, Lord, increase my faith, develop my faith, help me to know how to grow my faith so that I can live in faith and walk by faith and experience the blessing and the power of God in my life. Too many Christians are living way below the privilege that God has for us. And we need to understand that God can help us to grow our faith and to increase our faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6, we read it as a part of the text, that without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's through faith that we're saved, and then it's through faith that we are able to please God. That just means we can get the smile of heaven on us by faith. Amen. Now, I've told this story. Now, David Gilpin, I told a story a few weeks ago in a service, and so later on, Greg sent me the picture. He didn't write so many notes, a few notes on my sermon, but he drew the picture perfectly, illustrating some story that I had told. So, David, get ready and draw the picture. I want to tell the story. I've told this before many times, but my dad was a baseball player and loved baseball, and so that affected us as boys. We loved to play ball, and so I was 10 years old on a baseball team. I was an average ball player. I was okay. I wasn't necessarily a home run guy. But I would get a hit every once in a while, I would do okay. I was a catcher. I played behind the plate catching the ball because my dad was always a pitcher, and we practiced in the backyard, and he threw those fastballs, and I learned how to catch the fastballs behind the plate with my dad throwing really hard, really, really hard to me. Well, my dad couldn't come to my games. It didn't work out most of the time that he couldn't come. Well, I remember in a game, particular game, that I was getting ready to go up to bat, and I looked up in the stands, and lo and behold, my dad was there. And so I got a little tense, a little nervous about that. Then I went up to the plate. I don't know if I prayed or what. I must have, because I was feeling the pressure. But that day, the Lord must have helped me, because I hit the ball, and it went all the way into center field, and it hit the top of the fence. It didn't roll beyond the fence. It just hit the top of the fence and fell inside. It would have been almost, it was that close to being a home run. It wasn't. It fell inside. And I ran to second base and got a double. When I got to second base, the only thing I cared about was my dad was there, and I looked straight up into the stands, and my dad wasn't an emotional person at all, but I could see my dad had a little smile on his face. I'll never forget that one. I'll never forget it. That's what it means to have the smile of heaven upon you. And without faith, you can't have God's favor. You can't have God's blessing upon your life. Amen. When you live your life according to God's plan for your life, you have the smile of heaven and you are pleasing to God. But the Bible says you can't please God unless you are walking and living in faith. Amen. Praise God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, really, you're challenging the truth of God. You're challenging the integrity of God, because if God said it, you need to believe it. If God says it in His Word, you need to get a hold of that and believe it. Unbelief really says God can't be trusted. God's Word is not the truth. Faith says, I read it, I believe it, it's a message to me, I believe it, and you accept it in faith. Amen. Whenever you don't believe God's Word, then you are challenging the truth and the integrity of God. And we know that God is not a man that He should lie. And we know that we can believe every word of this book. And it's a personal message to you and to me, to every believer. We take hold of the promise of God and we live by faith. Amen. The Christian life is a life of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We tap into something not of this world. We understand that there are things in this world that are completely opposite of the Word of God. And when the world is screaming at us, as it is right now, amen, we live in the cancel culture. When if folks are speaking things that are true, they get canceled. And if they they're only wanting to promote what they believe to be the truth. And they're screaming it at us now. This is what we believe is true. This is true. And you can't believe anything else. Well, as Christians, we know that we are to believe the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. And we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Now, your faith is only as good as the object of your faith. Amen. You have faith, and you can have faith in a lot of things that's worthless. But if you put your faith in the truth of God's Word, when you put your faith in the promises of God, of God's Word, then your faith is strong. Your faith is stable. And that's what the Scripture says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have we've talked about this before, but the rhema word and what that means. The rhema word that comes to us is really a word. It just means, rhema just means the spoken word, the spoken word when God speaks. So many of you have had trials, burdens, questions in your life, and you look to God's Word. I've had this experience myself where I've read the Word of God and suddenly the Word of the Lord, it would just leap off the page to me as an answer to my personal need. Amen. I've been sitting in church services before listening to someone preach the Word of God, and I would hear God's Word and it was as if a light turned on and I knew that was for me. That was a personal word for me. That is a rhema word. When God speaks through His Word to your specific situation or problem or need, whatever that it might be. So God can speak, and when He speaks, lay hold on the promises of God. Your faith will get stronger and more stronger, and you'll be able to develop your faith in a much greater way. But you know, your faith will always be put to the test. It'll always be put to the test. And as God begins to speak to you, and many times there's this season or kind of a interlude between the time that God has given you the promise or the word and then the fulfillment of that. It might be a few days or weeks. It could be months. And in many cases in the scripture, it wasn't just a few months. It was years before they saw the promise of God, like Abraham, who was promised. And that covenant that we call the Abrahamic covenant that came to him, promising him that he was going to be the father of a mighty nation, the father of a great nation, and that his seed was going to be like the sand of the sea. And that was the promise of God to a much younger Abraham. But the years go by, and he's no longer a young man. And he gets older and older until the time that the scripture actually says that he said of himself that that it was dead. He was dead. There was no way that him or Sarah would be able to have a child. And so the hope of that seemed to be naturally impossible. But Abraham did not give up on the promise of God. He didn't give up. And even though Abraham failed, remember when he failed and he decided, well, that he was going to take his wife Sarah's maidservant, and he had a child by her, and he took things into his own hand. Sure, Abraham failed, but that promise of God did not fail. And now he's 100 years old, and Sarah is 90 years old, and she hears the word of the Lord as those messengers came to their tent. And she hears the word of the Lord that she's going to be with child, and giving the exact season that that child is going to be born. And the Bible says that Sarah laughed. And you can understand, she's 90 years old. It was funny. It was hilarious. It was impossible to think that she would have a child. But she did. And Isaac was born. And you know, the test was still not over. The test wasn't over, because just a little bit later on, Abraham is commanded to take this son, his only son Isaac, and to go to Mount Moriah, and to go there and to offer him on an altar as a sacrifice. And Abraham believed God and believed that God was going, Isaac was as good as dead if God didn't intervene, because Abraham was committed to the promise of God and to obey God. Amen. And we know that God provided for him. God did provide the sacrifice. And so your faith, as your faith begins to grow, as you begin to get closer to God and hearing God and experiencing the word of the Lord becoming real and powerful in your life, you will experience a test, and maybe many tests of your faith. And God can strengthen you and help you to be able to pass the test of faith. Amen. I was just thinking about just a personal example of this. Back in 1982, we lived here, and months before we left here in June of 1982 to go out to Oklahoma to start a church. And but months before that, maybe even up closer to a year, the Lord had put it in my heart that this is what God wanted to do. I didn't talk to people about it. I did talk to my wife about it, but not really all that much. She knew it was in my heart. She knew it, but you know, we didn't know how that it could ever come to pass. But one day, a gentleman called me, and he was part of a group of people that I knew of them. And there was about 15 people who were driving to the other side, about 22, 23 miles to the other side of the city of Tulsa, to go to church. And they said, we would like to start a church over here closer to where we live. Would you be willing to come and to help us do that? And I knew immediately, I knew it was God, because it was already in my heart. The Lord had already spoken that to me in my heart. But then comes the test. And this was a big test. I was working at Comprehensive Care down here. It was down here in the old Finley roller rink back then. I was working for them. And as soon as I got this call, my boss called me in within a day or two. He called me in and he said, listen, there's this job that's opened up. And it'll be a real opportunity for you. And we want you to take this position. It would have doubled my salary. Now, my salary wasn't that much, so don't get too excited. But it would have doubled my salary if I would have taken that job. And then in a matter of just a few more days, Brother Huff said to me, we were here in the church just serving. We weren't, you know, on staff here. We were just here helping with the youth primarily in the church. Youth, we worked in the bus ministry and just different things that we were doing back in those days. Just helping wherever Brother Huff wanted us to serve here in the church. But he said to me one day, this was just a few days after the person on the job had called me in and offered me this job. He says, I've got to go to Lexington to the hospital. Would you go with me? And so I did. Well, Brother Huff always has a plan. And I learned real quickly that this was a plan. He said, now he knew about the possibility of us moving to Oklahoma, and he didn't want to see the grandkids move to Oklahoma. And he wanted us to be here, you know, continuing to help him. And he said, now listen, I know you've got a good job, and I want you to stay on your job, but I want to also pay you, put you on salary at the church. Now, the dollar signs are really starting to add up. I'm thinking, wow, all of a sudden, I'm going from poor to doing pretty good here. And then it was just that next Sunday, or maybe a Sunday after that, that, you know, I'd been working with the youth. Marcia and I had been working with the youth for a long time. And on that Sunday morning, we had a great move of God in the service. And the altar filled up, some of you may remember this, with young people. All those young people. It's like we had a breakthrough in the young people. And I'm thinking, Lord, am I doing the right thing? It was a test. Because I knew that when I got out there, I had no promise of any particular salary. I was going to have to get a job. The church probably couldn't take care of us. There was just 15 people. I knew all those things were ahead for me. But I also knew what God had put in my heart. I knew what he had said. And so, by the grace of God, we passed the test. And we came through and we moved to go out there. And during the 12 and a half years that we were there, the church was established. Two buildings were built when we left. Both of those buildings and the property was all completely debt-free. It was an amazing thing. And next month, in the month of March, they called and asked me to come and preach the dedication of their new sanctuary that they have just built. And so the church, after all these years, is going on, and God is blessing it and using them and moving for them. And I am just so thankful. And I know that then it was a test of my faith, but God gave us grace to pass the test. Amen. And to do what God had put in our heart. Now, let me tell you, faith is always tied to the unseen. It's always tied to the unseen. We could all have faith to believe something that's right before us, and we see that it's going to happen. But faith is always tied to the unseen, what you don't see. And the scripture says that it's the substance of that which is hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the evidence of things not seen. Now, another version of that verse, I think it's the English Standard Version, it says it this way. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Well, I have to tell, you know, I've told this a lot of times too, but it fits in here because this is another mom story. When Dad was very sick and about to die 20 years ago, right about this time, and they had called in hospice, and the hospice people were working with my mom and my dad, and they set my mom down one day and said, Mrs. Jarvis, listen, you have to understand that people make peace with God in their own way. And so John may make peace with God just privately, and you never would really know about that. And my mom said, no. No. And it took him back, and she said, I've prayed for 35 years for John to be saved, and no, I'm going to know it. I'm going to know it, and our family is going to know that he's got saved. And it was looking really tough because he was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And Brother Gary Norris, who's the pastor out there, was at that time, and he was going by regular to see my dad. My dad would welcome prayer, but he never prayed with him until 2 weeks before my dad passed away. And Brother Norris walked in there that day and said, John, and he began to talk to him about his heart, about his soul, and my dad prayed. And he got saved 2 weeks before he passed away. How do I know it? Because he immediately began to tell everybody that he'd got saved. He began to testify of it to everybody that he'd gotten saved. My mom said, no. It didn't seem like it could happen. It seemed impossible. You pray 35 years for someone to get saved, and now they're in their last days in this world, and you wonder, how can this ever happen? But it did. Praise God. Faith is tied to the unseen. You get a hold of something. You believe it with all of your heart, and you know that you know that you know that God is going to move in that situation. And that is extraordinary faith. And you read about it in Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Who are those of old? Those of old. It's all of this list of heroes of faith, you know, that you read about here. Enoch and Abel and Noah and Abraham and Sarah, and just go down the list. All of them testified to the fact that they were up against impossible odds. But they believed God. They believed the word of the Lord. And they demonstrated extraordinary faith. Extraordinary faith is realized in your life when you are up against impossible odds, but you refuse to let go of the promise of God. Hallelujah. And some of you are praying that way. Some of you are praying about different needs, different situations. How about you refuse to let go of the promises of God? I've said this a lot of times. We're in one of the darkest seasons that I've ever realized or seen in our country right now. But I've got a hold of something, a promise of God. I'm believing God for a move of God. I'm believing God for revival. And I want to get a hold of this, and hold on, I want to ask you to get a hold of this with me and believe God with me for a move of God in impossible times. Amen. And in possible situation. Let me read you some verses from Habakkuk chapter 3. That prophet Habakkuk is warning about all the things that Judah is going to face, warning them about the judgment of God that's going to come. And he closes out this chapter by saying this, Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Now that's what he's talking about, judgment and calamity that's coming. And all that's going to happen, all of their increase, all of their flocks, all of their fields, all of their vineyards, all of it, it's all going to be hopeless. But he says in verse 18, and this is how he closes out this chapter. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. Amen. Where did he get that? I mean, he's just given an entire chapter warning about judgment, warning about all the things that are going to come. And he paints this bleak picture of all that's going to happen to them. But somehow the prophet is saying, yet I'm going to joy in the Lord. Yet I am going to hold on to God. I'm going to take joy in the God of my salvation, the Lord that is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. Amen. Glory to God. The deer that would tread in those high places would not stumble because they were sure-footed. They were well-practiced in adverse circumstances. So if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in America faces tough and difficult times, we've got our feet on a solid rock. We've got the promise of God. We've got the joy of the Lord. We're going to hold on to that. We're going to believe God for that, and we're not going to let go. We're going to experience extraordinary faith in these times. Amen. Let's believe God. Let's believe His word. Let's believe the true report. Let's turn aside from all of the lies that's being promoted in this generation, and let's lay hold of the promise of God. Amen. And that promise is that God is not going to let us down. God is not going to fail us. He's going to pour His Spirit out upon those that are hungering and thirsting and calling upon the name of the Lord. God is going to come through. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Let's just stand together and let's lift our hands with praise and thanks unto the Lord who gives us joy and confidence in the times that are troubling and difficult. We have got a hold of the promises of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let us, Lord, as a body, as a church, Lord, get a hold of extraordinary faith and confidence in You. No matter what is being said, no matter what is around us, Lord, we believe You. We hold on to the promises of God. Hallelujah. We believe that You are at work, Lord, in these last days. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Verse 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That's pretty simple. If you're going to come to God in faith, you have to believe that He is real, that He exists. That's pretty simple. Most people will say, I believe God. But you bring your life troubles and life situation to God, you have to believe that God is real. And then secondly, it says you must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen. I believe He's real, and I believe He's a rewarder. Amen. If you'll seek Him, He'll be found of you. Amen. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. I mean, you just stay at it. You don't give up. You keep praying. You keep seeking God. You put your full trust in the Lord. And you pray on Monday. And you pray on Tuesday. And you pray every day. And you pray continuously. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Just keep coming. Never lose heart. Never give up. Continue to hold fast to the promises of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me read you one more verse and then we're going to pray. Or one more few verses. Romans 4 and 17. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, speaking about Abraham, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. That's who Abraham said he was. He makes the dead alive and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Praise God. If you walk in faith, you get a hold of it, then you can call it even though you don't see it. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. Praise God. So shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, whom he, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want us to take some time here as we close the service in prayer. But some of you, you may be really struggling with some things. The Bible says that he staggered not at the promise of God. He held on. Maybe you're really feeling the test. You don't know how that God can work in your need, your situation, your burden. Oh, but he can. Lay hold of the promise of God and believe God. And I'd like to just ask, first of all, for any of you that you're just struggling in faith and you really, you just need help from the Lord today. Amen. You might be like the man that said, I believe, Lord, but help thou my unbelief. I do believe, but Lord, I'm struggling with unbelief as well. If you're struggling today and you really have need of help from the Lord, I want to welcome you to come first to this altar. Step out and come down here. If you just need help from the Lord to believe God's promise, whatever your trouble, whatever your sickness, whatever your worry, your burden, your fear, whatever that it might be, lay hold of the promise of God today. Amen. And let's believe God. Anyone, you just need the church folks to pray with you. You're going through a time right now that's difficult, being tested, tried. Your faith is really being put to the test. Why don't you come? Praise God and let the Lord help you. Hallelujah. Let the Lord help you today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.